Well, thank y'all for coming to church today. It's a good place to be, right?
Amen.
Did you come expecting?
Yeah.
You know, we get asked that question so many times, I think sometimes we just say, yeah, and we're not really sure if we are or not. So, but there's enough of us here, we're expecting, and I believe God's going to show up. He's already here. I appreciate the praise and worship. I want to expound on something. This isn't part of my notes, but I want to encourage you. From that one song that we sang that talked about that God was the lifter of our head. I want to give you a scripture verse for that. Some of you know it, but it fits so great with what the Lord's put on my heart this morning. And this is Psalms 3, fellas, the first three verses out of the Amplified. If that can come up, please. I was really glad to see that song. In those words in that song, because I think there's some people here today that fit these three scriptures that we're getting ready to read. Okay, I'm just going to go on with it. There you are. Lord, now this is somebody talking to God. Okay, it's not Wanda talking. This is somebody talking to God. This is David talking to God. But this could be your prayer. Have you ever said this? Lord, how they are increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. You ever feel that way some days? Okay, let's go. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him and God. You ever hear that thought, have that thought? Selah, pause and calmly think of that. But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. But God. And so I'm going to give you this morning, I believe from the heart of God, some ammunition to use in your life when it seems like there is many that is increased who trouble you, and many are those who are rising up against you. I'm going to give you some ammunition. Right there is one, right there. That's a tremendous prayer. You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. God, I may be walking around, my head's up physically, but spiritually, my head's down. I need you to lift up my head today. I know a testimony of someone who physically could not lift their head up after having an aneurysm, and they prayed this, and God just supernaturally came in and took care of what needed to be taken care of. But she stood on this. But this is in my message for today. So, but that's just a little tidbit for you this morning. But I want us to open in prayer because I have a prayer in my heart. And I think it's important when you have a prayer in your heart to pray it out, and especially in your group, so you can hook up with me. Okay? Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity today, and I'm so grateful for your heart, Lord, for these people. I feel your heart so much for everyone in this room. These are my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and my natural family, some of them are here, Lord. And I just thank you that you care about us. And you want to bring answers to us. And Father, I just pray that as I deliver this, what's in my heart, that people won't look at Wanda. They don't need to look at me. They need to just draw on the Spirit of God on the inside of me, because you're the one that has the answers. And you're the one that anoints me. And so I thank you because of the anointing of the Word and the anointing of the call on my life, that God, that you're going to move in and you're going to do some things that man cannot do. Now, people, we need to hook up with that. That God's going to do something in your life that no man has been able to do. And I thank you, Lord, what that is you're going to remove burdens and you're going to destroy yokes off of our lives today because of the preaching of the Word and the call that's on my life. The anointing, your presence. Lord, your presence is here. And the prayer that's in my heart is that you'll set things right. Amen. Grab a hold of that, people. God wants to set some things right. There's some things in your life that are not right, and He wants to set them right. And Father, I've prayed much over this time with us together with you, and I just thank you for the interpretation of it coming forth as I speak in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have a little slide that I had Missy do for me this week. If you could do the first one of the little boy, I want you to look at. No, the other one, please. There. Can you see that? Can you see the little boy? Is it clear enough for you to see it? Okay. This came on Twitter, and it just touched my heart so tremendously. And I kept saying, God, I don't know why this is touching my heart so much. But if you can't read what it says, it is not happy people who are grateful. It is grateful people who are happy. And you can tell by the little boy, if you could see it clear enough. I wish it was just a tad clearer. But anyway, you can tell by the little boy that he lives in poverty, obviously. No shoes. But he's got his little hands like this. That's what I love. So I've pondered on that statement in that, and it's kind of how this message came about. You can take that off. Thank you. I hope you'll keep that in your thinking. Now, wait a minute. What? Sorry. Can it come back up one more time? It is not happy people who are grateful. It is grateful people who are happy. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you maybe a little bit of different insight on being grateful. And this is a message on saying thank you. And it's not Thanksgiving. And so, you know, don't kind of, oh, well, I've heard a lot of Thanksgiving messages, giving thanks. I know how to give thanks and whatever. But I believe you're going to get a little bit different insight to it today. And so it's grateful people that are happy. But grateful people that are happy, you're grateful after something has already happened. Is that not correct? Most of the time, I see a few people going, most of the time you give your thanks. You know, if you've done like your mama taught you, you say thank you when somebody does something for you, right? That's gratitude. It's an attitude of gratitude. And we kind of live in a society where in some ways that's being lost. You know, have you ever done something for someone and, you know, they never said thank you? I mean, that's a test of the heart. Because it shouldn't take away what you did. We agree on that. But there are some people, I know one person that was in my life at one time, quite a few years back, and I don't care what I did, I never got a thank you. That's sad. And you know, thank you is a word, it's a universal word, right? When I was looking, you've already seen the thank you Jesus, it'll come back up a little bit later, but when I was looking for something to go on the slide, I mean, I could have put something up there that had thank you in every, quite a few languages. And I said, the problem is I can't say none of them. So I don't want to put, I could say gracias, somebody say that for me. Gracias. But anyway, some people when they're traveling to a foreign country, that's what they'll say. Teach me how to say thank you. Okay, so I'm going to give you, maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't, but I'm going to give you a little different sight on insight on thank you, the word thank you. A lot of you are going to know these scriptures that we talk about and being thankful to God. But before you leave, I hope that I have invested in you the word by the Spirit of God enough that you will see thank you as a weapon. Do you see thank you as a weapon? Maybe not. Maybe some. So we hooking up on this? You're going to leave. And I'll tell you, I want to tell you what I'm beginning to get tired of. And it's a good thing. And so I want to make you tired of it this morning too. I'm here to stir you up big time. I want you to get tired of what the enemy is doing in your life and your loved ones. I've asked God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. This has to be a revelation from the heart of God to make you mad. We're mad at people. We're not mad at the enemy that uses people. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We're mad at people lots of times, and we're not mad at the enemy that's using those people. I've looked at a book. Jerry Savelle has a book called From Devastation to Restoration. And you know, God has spoken to us and said that our battle cry here is restore, restore, restore. But you know why we can't use those three words very much and very often? Because you're not mad enough. You're not mad at the one who's brought devastation in your life or someone else's life. You've got to get mad. It's quiet. Sinking in. And I've even said to the prayer class, and when we stand up here and we have prayer before service, I said, I've been asking God for a revelation of my enemy. And you need to do the same thing. Because places where he's stealing, you don't even see that he's stealing. You're just giving it up. One thing, because you're tired. And so I'm going to give you some ammunition this morning to help you take back some of the things that, the enemy has stolen. But I think, if you want to pray that. And, I used to wouldn't even think about praying that because I thought if I pray that, man, all hell will break loose. Well, you know what? All hell's broke loose already. Amen. Without me even asking. Yeah. And part of the reason all hell's broke loose is because we're doing Operation School Guard. But you got to see where that's coming from, and that ought to make you mad. And you ought to put a demand on the Word of God. Now, this is for people praying for Operation School Guard. You need to put a demand on the Word of God, and you need to say to God, God, I'm taking care of your kids, so you got to take care of mine. Because it's a spirit that's reaping and sowing. And God don't mind you talking to him like that, because what you're doing is you're just taking his word and you're just offering it back to him. God doesn't mind us sharing our heart like that. So if you've got hell breaking loose in your life, or you have had, or you may have this week, then you can know that you need to know your enemy. Terry Savelle Foy says there is a war going on and you got to learn how to fight. As the body of Christ, we have got to learn how to fight. Everything's been given us to win this war. Everything. Jesus paid the price for everything. Would you put up the slide, please, that says, thank you, Jesus? And you say, well, I hear you saying it. Why do you want me to look at it? I just want you to look at it because I want it to be an imprint in your mind. It'll come up here in just a minute. But the victory is already ours. God's left us here on this earth instead of when we got born again, going to heaven and being with him. He left us here on this earth to enforce that victory that Jesus paid the price for. Well, how can we help enforce it in other people when we don't even have it in ours? And one reason why we don't have it in ours is we're ignorant. We got our head in the sand. And this is not how I plan to do this today. Praise God. But that's all right. We got our head in the sand, and we're not facing and getting tired. Jerry Savelle says, until you get sick and tired of the destruction in your life, you will not see restoration. Because one thing, you won't ask for it. You won't put a demand on the Word of God for it. And you're only asking or putting a demand on the Word of God That, oh yeah, it's one of those that's going to change on me, huh? Okay. You're only going to put a demand on it until you can say, thank you, Jesus, for everything you did on the cross for me. It's bought, it's paid for. Everything. Everything, everything, everything. Now, we can say, good, yeah, we do that, but do you really? That's your fighting ground. What Jesus has done on the cross. That is your fighting ground. If you're sick, that's your fighting ground. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and whole. Thank you, Jesus. That's your weapon. Thank you, Jesus. And it becomes faith if you don't see it yet. It's just not a statement of gratitude. It's a statement of, by faith, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed and I'm made whole. Okay, you don't have groceries, you need money for bills or whatever. Your fighting ground is on the basis of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you went to the cross, it was so everything I ever had need of would be provided. Already provided. You know, devil, shut your mouth. You ever say that to him? Shut your mouth. This is me. What Jesus is me. Let's go to Romans 8. And that's not going to be on the list, fella, of the scriptures, but Romans 8, please. I stir you up. So you're going to start taking back what's rightfully yours. You're going to start saying no to the enemy. Amen. Right? Yes. You're going to take back what's yours. Yes. What have you let go of? Romans 8, verse 32. This is out of the Amplified. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but he gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Everything. You know what? Jesus is your everything. God did not spare his son. He gave him up for us all. Will he not give you everything else freely and graciously? If there would be one thing that God would not, could not, or would not give you, then that would be saying that that thing was greater than Jesus. God freely, freely, he did not withhold Jesus. He gave him up freely and graciously. And he will give you all other things. So whatever you have need of, it's already been provided in the blood of Jesus. And I'm here today to stir you up to lay hold of it. Quit fighting with flesh and blood. That's one of the greatest tactics of the enemy. He loves to tell you how bad somebody is, or what they did to you, or so on and so forth. Now, there is the place, if you've been wronged, you don't hide your head in the sand about that. Pretend it never happened. But you go before the Father. I've heard Joyce Meyer say, some people don't go before the throne, they go before the phone. That's a good one, isn't it? I have to give her credit for that, because that ain't me. But anyway. So you go before the throne. And according to Psalm 62, you can look at that verse, because I can tell you what that verse is. But anyway, it says that you can go before the Father and you can pour out your heart before him like water. He's your refuge and your strength. And so you go before the Father and you pour out your heart before him. And you can say, and I love this, you can say, Daddy God, did you see what happened? Did you see what they did to me? It was not right what they did to me. And whatever else you need to say to him. It don't catch God off guard. And you don't have to put on your spiritual face. Act like it never happened. Because, man, that'll get you in trouble. Because 5 years down the road, you're going to still carry it. But in the meantime, it's festered on the inside of you and probably made you sick. So, but anyway, you go before him and you say, you know what happened. And, And I know what your word says. See, this is what prayer is. This is my assignment, is to teach you about prayer. It's just talking to God. It's just talking to Him like I talk to my husband, my son, my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law today. When I leave here, I'm going to talk to them. And it's just like that. Don't make it so hard. Take your religious whatever off. Talk simply to Him and tell Him how bad it hurts and how bad you hate it. And you know what? And I've done this with God before. I've gone for Him. And I said, God, I want to tell you what I would say to them if they were standing right here in front of me. Have you ever done that? It's pretty freeing. Man, you know what? I got rid of it really quick. I did. And I have one person in my life that's probably hurt me as much as any person on the face of the earth. And I was telling somebody about this a while back. And you know what? And I can stand, by the grace of God, I can stand before this person. And, I mean, none of that crosses my mind. That's only by the grace of God. I mean, hurt me to the core. And one reason why I've been able to do that, I can do that, is one night when I got hurt really, 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 really bad, and I felt like nobody was taking up for me, me and God had a little session. And I said, God, now somebody needs this, because this is sure not in my notes. But anyway, I said, God, let me tell you, if that person was standing right in front of me, is it okay? Can I just blast them? And I did. I blasted them. Man, I let them roll. But you know what it did? It got it up out of my heart. Oh, and it was so freeing. And I said, okay, I'm done. And I forgive them. Went to sleep, and honest as God is my witness, never dealt with it again. But you got to learn how to fight and who your battle is with. The enemy loves keeping you caught up in circumstances. All right, now, that's it. I'm going on to my message. And I'm going to give you a tool. And the tool is the word thank you. And I want to read you, if you'll bear with me, it's like two paragraphs. This is from Brother Copeland's magazine back in 2004, I think it is. And I'm going to give you a canon today. You know, there's different, let me just read it. The canon of spiritual warfare. All spiritual battles are not created equal. Some are simply skirmishes easily won and quickly left behind. Others are fierce fights against the heavy artillery of an adversary who is, listen to this, hell-bent on our defeat. You've got to see that the enemy is hell-bent on your defeat. When we face those kinds of fights, we must use the most powerful weapons God has given us. We must pull out the big guns. Big guns, you ask? Aren't all the weapons of our spiritual warfare mighty through God? Yes, they are all mighty and they're all effective. All of them fire the ammunition of faith, so they're all powerful. What are some of those weapons? The name of Jesus, the Word of God, I've gone blank, the blood of Jesus. That's the three. Okay, so we know about those. They're mighty and they're effective. But they're not all the same. For instance, if we compare them with natural weapons, we may say that one is like a pistol, another is like a rifle, and another is like a cannon. We're familiar with that, right? If we're in a spiritual battle, and I'm going to stop here before I finish reading this. You know, in history, those of you who are history, really like history and lot and whatever, in the wars, World War I, World War II, you know, Vietnam, the Middle East, all of those wars, people that were in charge over the battles that went on, do you not think they didn't study their enemy? Didn't they? They knew their enemy probably as much as they could possibly find out. They knew their enemy probably almost as much as they knew themselves. And that's why there was a lot of battles of victory. Let me go on. For instance, if we compared them with natural weapons, we might say that one's like a pistol, another like a rifle, and another like a cannon. If we're in a spiritual battle and we've already used the pistol and the rifle, but the devil just keeps hanging on, only the cannon will do. And he says, it's the cannon of thanksgiving. You will never see Thanksgiving the same after today. And I mean the day of Thanksgiving, you will never see it the same after today. Thanksgiving is the big gun in our spiritual arsenal. And this is why. Thanksgiving keeps you connected to God and receiving from Him even when circumstances are dark. If you quit giving thanks, you'll lose your connection to God. And the circumstances will get darker and darker and darker. It keeps you in an attitude of faith even when the devil is assaulting your senses and giving you 1,000 reasons to doubt the word and the power of God. Anybody go through that? Am I the only one in this room that I've had a battle where I begin to doubt the word of God? To doubt His goodness? To doubt His love? Because it's gone on and on and on and on and on. And all the while, God is waiting for Wanda to use the weapons. And maybe I have. But maybe, you know, I needed to get out the big cannon of Thanksgiving. You won't forget that either. Because when I first read this article, I remembered that. And it would come across my mind occasionally, and I think, where is that article? Where is that article? Well, you know, I finally found it, and it stirred all this up in me, and I'm getting to share it with you today. When the storms of life are thundering around us, if we'll just stop right in the middle of it all and give thanks, it will keep us standing strong. Okay, so I don't want you to leave today with another thing to put on your to-do list of things to do when the enemy's attacking. And what I mean by that, thank you comes out of relationship. And it's just done another thing to do to maybe help get you past the place where you're being attacked. You know, when you genuinely say thank you, it comes out of a relationship. And I could go another direction, and I'm not going to do that. I'll save that for another day. And so now this is where I'm going to expound. Let's look at Psalm 69. I'm going to give you some word to back this up, give you some ammunition. Psalm 69, verse 30. Okay, I want you to think about what circumstance are you going through right now that you feel like hell's broken out, or one that's been going on for years. Okay? Giving you some answers for this. Out of your relationship with God, don't see the word thank you as some two little magic words. That I'm going to say those words, and God's going to get me out of it. You know, the body of Christ does that sometimes. They'll take something that somebody said, and they won't keep it with a relationship, the relationship that you have with Jesus. This verse here says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I want to tell you, this person that hurt me so badly over the years, the final hurt that came was not only hurtful, but it was very humiliating. And at the end of it, when it happened, and I got back home, and no, actually, it was before I got home, and I heard these words in my heart, cover it. I knew exactly what God was saying. And I said, okay, you're going to have to help me do that. And He did. And you know, because there's a scripture verse that says, love covers a multitude of sin. And then there's some others in Proverbs that talks about covering, I'm sorry, I can't give you that verse, but covering, anybody know that verse in Proverbs where it says to cover something? anyway, cover what somebody does to you. Anybody know that verse? Nope. Okay. Well, anyway, and this is the reason why God had me to do that. So my husband knew, and probably a couple of other people in my family. Nobody else. But man, it could have been something that could have been shared. Because I was hurt. But anyway, I covered it. And I want to tell you what God did for me. Because I covered it, it wasn't long that it just left me. Now this scripture verse, if you'll put that back up there again, please. This is, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And I hadn't learned this at that time, but I was walking in the principle of it, even though I didn't know that scripture verse. Because what I was doing, I was magnifying God instead of magnifying how I was hurt. Y'all follow me? You see what I'm saying? Because when you get hurt, do you know that every time you repeat it, if there's been any bit of a healing process, you're just ripping the scab off. And you're just opening up the wound again. But how can you not share that? Well, then you ask God for your grace. You have that heart-to-heart talk with him. And then you start saying, God, I'm going to magnify you in this situation with thanksgiving instead of magnifying what's been done to me. And I want to read you a quote from Joyce Meyer. She says this, I magnify you. When you do that, you're literally saying, I make you bigger in my life than any problem or need that I have right now. Words of thanksgiving are devastating to the enemy. He absolutely hates to hear a thankful person talking about the goodness of God. So you see, the enemy set a trap for me that day for me to get offended, to get in unforgiveness. You get in unforgiveness, it'll steal the gift, it'll steal the anointing on your life, it'll make you hard to live with, and it can eventually make you sick. And so that was a setup. That was a trap set for me. Thank God, by the grace of God, I did not fall. Now, can I tell you that I've never fallen into those traps? No. I have. But, you know, we're all in a place of growing and learning. And so, and I have learned in that process. And so, because I didn't magnify it, it didn't get big. Okay, that's a tool. Take that one home with you today. What you magnify is what's going to get big in your life, and it's what's going to work in your life. You magnify the goodness of God. You magnify the love of God. You magnify God's ability to take you out of that. You magnify that God is your refuge and your strength and an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And so we're using the word magnify here, but you can, we're going to talk about thank you. You say, Father, thank you. You're my refuge and strength in this situation. You're my ever-present help in the time of trouble. You're getting out the cannon. You're getting out the big gun. And it'll destroy self-pity. And it'll destroy anger. And it keeps you connected to God. And if you don't, take that one home with you. Put some things in your pocket. Thanksgiving will keep you connected to God. And you know you're going to get to use this, don't you? But that's what makes it real. Okay, let's look at Psalms 100. I have to give you the word, giving you ammunition. And I just believe as you're sitting right here, God's opening up your lives. He's giving you revelation of where you've let the enemy come in, where you've let him steal. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name. And I know probably most of the people in this room know that verse. I want you to say it a little differently today. You know, we kind of tie that in. It's a time of praise and worship and thanksgiving. You know, I want for you that when you go out through your day and you're talking to the Father, that thank you is a great part of your conversation that you have with Him. I want to read you what the Message Bible says about this. And you'll love this for this day and time that we're in. Enter with the password, thank you. Can you believe that? Message Bible. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank Him and worship Him. And we do that. We enter. But you know, you don't have to be on your knees at home. You don't have to be in your prayer closet. You don't have to be whatever. But let that be your conversation throughout the day. And when you have one of those days where you can't seem to get it straight up here, that's when you really need to use the word thank you. Because what the enemy's doing, we know the battle's in the mind. And he wants you to get so caught up with this battle that's going on in your mind that you don't say thank you. And you know what he's wanting to do? Bring in doubt. Is that not right? Have you not noticed that? When you're having the battle up here, he's wanting to bring in doubt. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. You start doubting the Word of God, what's that going to do? Disconnect you from God. Disconnect you from your source of help. And so, bear with me. I'm going to walk over here to this door. I saw this when I was preparing for this. And you know, we need to recognize what doubt does. Doubt is doubt. That's the battle. That's a large portion of the battle. You know, you're believing for provision in your home. And you don't have enough money, more month than money, they'll say. So you're standing on the Word of God and you're thanking God that by He'll provide everything you have need of according to His riches and glory. You add thank you to that and you're saying that. But all the while, you'll get up one morning and the battle will be on. And you're going to have those constant thoughts coming to you. And what those thoughts are wanting to do is steal the Word and make you doubt. Okay? I mean, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. Adam doubted. The enemy said, really? God really said that to you? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I hope you'll be more in tune with your thoughts and what the enemy is saying to you. Because, and I've heard Joseph Prince say this, the enemy will bring thoughts to you and make you think that they're your thoughts. He'll turn them around and make them think your thoughts. And sometimes the enemy doesn't even have to even give you thoughts because you're kind of down on yourself anyway. You just do it. You cooperate with him. But this is what I saw. So you get up in this day and you're believing for provision. Now let's go to something else. I want to go to healing. And you're believing for healing. You got some symptoms in your body. And you know that the Word says that Jesus died on the cross and He took your sins, your shame, your guilt, and by the stripes that Jesus took on His back, you're healed and you're made whole. So, you know, you stand on that. So you have 2 or 3 days go by. For some of you, it's been 2 or 3 months, 2 or 3 years. And you know what you have an opportunity to do in the midst of all that? Is doubt. Doubt the goodness of God. Doubt that God's even heard your prayers. Doubt the love of God. So what happens is, it's like opening this door. So the doubt comes in, and the door just gets a little crack open. You know, you kind of gather yourself up, you get back on the faith, back on your word, and, you know, you're still pressing in for healing. But then you'll have another day. You know, that's how the enemy did with Jesus. He came when Jesus was after 40 days of fasting and he was in the wilderness and he tempted Jesus and Jesus used the word, so that's our example. But at the end of those verses, he said that Satan left until a more opportune time. It's the same way with us. So the more opportune time comes, you get really busy. You're not praying as much. Not in the Word as much. Whatever. Because you know what? That's your food. That's your sustenance is the Word. Oh, and this one, you're not listening. You're not listening. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know what? What you hear this morning is not enough for you all week. You need to be listening to messages. Whoever you can receive from. This is not enough. So all of that happens. It's a cumulative thing. And distractions from the enemy. That's one of his tools. So then you have another day where, man, it's like, am I ever going to get past this? All the accusations. So the enemy, so the door of doubt opens up a little bit more. And especially if you've been standing for something for a long time. I've been standing for something for a long, long time. Me and God's had this talk. I said, God, I don't know why it's taking so long, but. But that's when you have the opportunity to get weary. As far as I'm concerned, you know what? We all look at it. I mean, you know, 2 days is too long. And I believe as the body of Christ, as we grow in our authority, know our authority, as we grow in the Word, we're going to see things happen suddenly. And it's not going to be any of this going on and on and on. Okay, so then we go on and on. You see the picture. So you gather yourself up and you get back on your faith and you get back in communion and fellowship with God. You get back in thanksgiving and so on and so forth. But then there comes another day. And then there comes another day. And it's if you don't watch, doubt can grow in your heart and eventually override the faith that's there. So we're learning today about the Word. Thank you. This is the weapon we're talking about today. Now you can do this with the Word of God. You can do this with the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. But this is what I saw. So there comes a time when you just gather up your bootstraps and you say, okay, this is enough. I hope that happens to you today. You say, okay, this is enough. And you can say, I'm going to get out the big gun of thank you. And you say to the Father, Father, I thank you. This is not a gratitude. This is faith. Because I ain't seen it. And my body is telling me everything from hell is hitting my body. But I'm taking a stand on the Word of God, planting my feet, and I'm going to thank you in the midst of what's going on in my life. I pray today that the Spirit of God rises up in us and brings us to that place. And you say, Father, I thank you. By the stripes Jesus took upon his back, I'm healed. But then you have a thought of doubt. By the stripes, Father, I thank you that the stripes Jesus took upon his back, I'm healed and made whole. It's a war, people. And you're not doing it to see how many times it takes for you to get healed. You're doing it out of your relationship with Jesus. And you say, I don't want what you did on the cross to be in vain with me. So thank you. 50 times a day, whatever it takes, the middle of the night. Do you know your healing is now? Your provision is now? Your deliverance is now? God said to me one time, he said, Wanda, you're trying to get what you already got. And I've read that in books and stuff. But, I mean, he just said it to me. He said, you're trying to get what you've already got. Folks, you're trying to get what you've already got. So what will happen as you get out the big guns of Thanksgiving and you say that and you say that and you say that, this door of doubt will begin to shut. Your faith will override the doubt. Then there will become the time when it shuts. Take that picture home with you. First Thessalonians 5:18. I'm keeping a watch on the time. We're doing good. Going to give you a few little scriptures on Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God I'm going to read that out of the New King James. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now what I want to say that is, this is in, not for. Because this people get hung up on this. It's like, how can I thank God that I was in a car wreck? Or how can I thank God that I'm sick? Or how can I thank God I don't have no money in the bank? How can I thank God when my kids are running off? But it's in those situations. Whatever situation is, you find a scripture that fits that to stand on. And then I felt like the Lord ministered this to me, so I'll share it to you. Because, you know, I'll look for scriptures and I'll just look. Okay, here's one and here's one and here's one and here's one. He told me one day, he said, Wanda, it's not the amount of scriptures you know, it's the ones you know. Does that make sense? Just take one. That's all you need. The one that just strikes you in your heart. And in that situation you find yourself in, give thanks. Because that's the will of God for you, is to give thanks. Because then you're saying to Him, you know what, God? Be God in my life. Be God in my finances. Let me read you this statement. We must do more than just thanks. After we receive the answer to our prayers as an act of gratitude, we must give thanks before we receive the answer as an act of faith. That's what we were doing over there with that door. We were giving thanks and closing the door on doubt. We must learn to thank God in the midst of what may seem like hopeless, terrible situations. We must thank God when it looks like the devil has won the fight. And we can do what? That because we know Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. And I won't lie to you, this is not easy. But if you get a revelation of it, it'll be a lot easier. It's not just something you do, it's what God reveals to you. Because information, if I was just giving you information, all it would do is change your mind. But I give you revelation, it'll change your heart and it'll change your voice. And you know what? The devil don't care how many scriptures you know. It's the ones you say out of your mouth is the ones that drive him nuts. Amen. So practice. And this is hard for me. I'm going to be real honest with you. This one has been hard for me. Opening my mouth and saying what is contrary to what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing. And I don't think I'm the only one in that boat. Because, you know, it's just, that's what faith is. That's just what faith is. And the greatest revelation you can have is the love that Jesus has for you. And if you don't understand that and know that, because for you to have faith in God, you have to know how much Jesus loves you. And you can say, oh, yeah, well, you know, he sent him to the cross. I know that. But bring it down to you. When you haven't been such a good person. And when you made somebody mad and they need to forgive you. That's when you got to know God loves me. And that's another revelation that's coming to the body of Christ, I believe. We have got to know how much God loves us when we're just being little hellions ourselves. And don't tell me we all haven't had the opportunity in here. And you know, and you got to know you're forgiven, no matter what you've done. So those are all revelations. Oh, and let me say, this is what you thank God for. When you're going about your day and you feel like, you know, a little stinker that day, you just say, you know what, Father, I thank you that I'm forgiven. And if anybody in here has a religious whatever, that'll just blow a plumb right out of the water. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, I thank you that I'm forgiven. Now, I know what I did wasn't right, but I'm not condemned. Because you know the word says, thank you, Father, there is no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is how you use the word, two words, thank you. That emblem we saw up on the board there, thank you, Jesus. That's the only reason you can say thank you to the Father. Now, you could say, you know what, God, thank you for the good works I did today. You know, I was really nice at work today, and I didn't, you know. We laugh at that, but sometimes we have that kind of attitude. It's like, you know what, God, I know you need to bless me today. Because I was really good at work. You know what? I didn't talk like those other people. Did you see them, God? They were over in that corner gossiping. I didn't do that. That's called self-righteousness. That's what it's called. And God would say to you, and could say to you, and may say to you, and you know what, Wanda? I love you, but I also love those standing over there in the corner gossiping. See, that's the kind of revelation of love that the body of Christ has got to have for the return of Jesus. Because if we don't get that, the world ain't going to want nothing that we got. And it's not about our love for him. It's about his love for us. And so that's another thing you can say thank you for. When you deal with fear and you deal with anxiety, you take 1 John 4 where it says perfect love casts out all fear. And you go around, if you're riding in the car, my deal is riding in the car. Seriously. That one I have to pray. Just being, I pray when I get in the car. I'm out on interstate. Otherwise, our Tony's looking at me grinning. They just moved on the other side of Knoxville. So I guess what we have to go through to get to their house? 6 lanes of traffic. The other time we left at 5:30 in the morning just so we wouldn't miss some of the traffic out on I-40. But I have to deal with that. So you know what? This is a lesson for me. So I thank you that when I'm driving in the car and I'm riding in the car, this keeps me, you know, fear will disconnect you from God. But this will keep me connected from God. Father, I thank you. Your perfect love casts out all fear. Father, I thank you. Your perfect love casts out all fear. Father, I thank you for your perfect love for me, and it's casting out any fear that I would have in my life right now while I'm in the midst of all these. Tony told me, he said, Mama, you don't have to drive 80. You can get over in the, what'd you call it, the senior lane? The what? The slow lane, but I think he wanted to say the senior lane. So anyway, I got to get my train of thought back here. Let's look at one more scripture verse. This is Psalms 8, verse 2. Psalms 8, verse 2. Now remember, the thank you that we're talking about isn't the thank you from gratitude, but it is the thank you of faith. I'm going to read this from the NIV. You can read it from your version if you want. We've got it up here. And we're familiar with this one. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. I read you this statement from Brother Copeland. He says, the weapon that Scripture guarantees will silence every enemy of God is the weapon of thanksgiving and praise. Get a picture of it. Get a revelation of it. When you're having a battle in your mind, or you're wanting to battle with people or circumstances or whatever, get a revelation of, when I say thank you, it is a weapon that will shut the enemy's mouth. And you're not going to just say it one time and it'll be done. This is a lifestyle. That's a good word. I hadn't thought about that word. This is a lifestyle. You know, the world today is so consumed about, you know, exercise and diet, and it's lifestyle, healthy lifestyle. And that's good. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's good. But what about our lifestyle spiritually? And a lifestyle is, you live it. It's your life. So I'm for some of you, I hope all of us, we're changing our lifestyle today. Do you mumble and complain? I bet nobody in this room ever mumbles or complains, right? I have found the only person that I can really mumble and complain to, and this may make you go, oh, but the only person I really should mumble and complain to, I can do that with my Father God. Because His Word says I can pour my heart out to Him. And I can mumble and I complain to Him, and if I mumble and complain to Him, it'll help me not to mumble and complain to other people. And so we're getting a lifestyle change today. Thank you. Shuts his mouth. Thank you. It's a weapon. Thank you. Keeps you connected to God. Thank you. Changes the atmosphere. Does it not? Won't it change the atmosphere? It'll change the atmosphere. From doubt, from unbelief, to faith. All right, let me see if there's anything else that I want to use. Oh, I want to refer to the story of Lazarus. We're not going to look at it. It's a whole chapter. But you remember the story when Lazarus died? And then, you know, they got word to Jesus. And Jesus tarried 2 days, didn't just jump on and went. Then when he got there, you know, of course, Lazarus was not in that good of a condition. But one of my favorite scripture verses is in that chapter. And if Jesus had to do this, then I need to do this. Midways into that chapter, and he's there. And, you know, Lazarus' sister has said, you know, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And he probably stinks. You know? Read it sometime. For sake of time, we won't. And so, you know, there was things coming against Jesus. But in the midst of it, before Jesus ever left, Jesus prayed. And Brother Copeland brings this out, and I've never seen it exactly as a prayer, but I just want to read you a couple of things that Jesus said. He said, he's sleeping. I will wake him out of that sleep. And then your brother shall arise. And then whoever believes in him, meaning Jesus, he shall never die. And I thought, God, was that a prayer? And the Lord said, no, that was a declaration. Jesus was talking to his Father. Do you know declarations are prayers? So Jesus was declaring the outcome before he got there. See, that's what we get to do. You get to decree the finished work with thank you before you see it. You get to decree the outcome before it happens. Same principle. And you know what? Jesus had to do it. We have to do it. But what blessed me was when Jesus was going into the tomb and, you know, the smell was awful. He said, we can put this one on the board. John 11:41. It's real simple. I was just going to tell you, but you can put it on the board. But this is what Jesus said to his Father. Father, I thank you. You have heard me. Isn't that precious? So you can go out throughout your day, and when you want to get a little weary, they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. You're getting a little weary. It's a little tough. You say, Father, I thank you. You've heard my prayers. Simple. Take that one home with you today. Father, I thank you. You've heard my prayers. You know what that's doing? It's putting doubt under your feet. And so we know what happened. Lazarus was raised from the dead. One more Colossians. I haven't been an hour yet, folks. And I'm just going to do this till the anointing lifts, and I feel like beginning to. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I believe we'll close with this one. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, I believe what I have written down here is the Amplified. This is what the Amplified says. You don't need to put it up. It's pretty close. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. I don't know what version I have here, but I'm going to stick with this one right here. Expound on it for just a minute. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Do you know that your prayers are seeds that you sow? Have you ever thought about it that way? You put a seed in the ground, what are you expecting? Harvest. You put prayers in the ground, people's lives, people's hearts, you expect what? A harvest. Well, this scripture here says to continue in prayer, and that doesn't mean praying the same prayer over and over and over. Because you know what happens? You pray a prayer, then when you start praying that prayer over again, that means there's some doubt there. And you'll dig up that prayer. And you'll have to sow it again. Now, and let me just clarify this a little bit. When it comes to what Jesus did on the cross for us, it's done, it's bought, it's paid for. It's yours. All you have to do is ask one time. But then you know what you do? You watch over that prayer. And how do you watch over it? With thanksgiving. You watch over it. When you get weary, keep watching over it. Keep saying thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That's mine. Thank you, Jesus. That's mine. Now, in its other kinds of prayers, like the Ephesians 1 prayer is an example. You know, you can pray that one every day. You can pray it 2 or 3 times a day. Any of the scripture prayers in the Bible, you can pray that over and over and over, and you think. And that's a way of watching over that, too. But you watch over the prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This is a comment he says about it. You're watching over your prayer to make sure the devil doesn't come in and steal the answer. Here again, know your enemy. You're like a security guard continually stopping the enemy and the avenger with your big gun of thanksgiving and praise. So you know you've got a situation in your family and you've prayed over it, or a situation at work or whatever, and you're just standing on the word. Don't keep praying it over and over. God heard you the first time. Stay in faith and say thank you. In fact, Brother Copeland gives an example in this little article here where he was believing for healing for his back. And he had hands laid on him at a certain time, certain day, and whatever. And one day he went to get on his treadmill. And man, he said pain hit him like crazy. Well, you know, he could have dug up the seed of that prayer. And he could say, oh, Father, you know, here I am once again asking you for healing. I know it's your will for me, so I need to ask you one more time. No, you really don't. So instead, he said, devil, on such and such time, such and such day. Can't y'all hear Brother Copeland saying this? Well, you know what, Brother Copeland? He stands in an office that's different than us. And because of that, there's respect and there's honor for that. But other than that, he's a child of God just like us. He struggles just like us. But he said, on such and such time, I received my healing. Because that's when it was prayed for. That's when hands were laid on. Actually, he received his healing 2,000 years ago. But anyway, and he was standing on that, and he said, I refuse to let the devil, through really his mouth, Brother Copeland's mouth, used me to dig up that seed. And he said, and I'm believing for restoration. And he goes on, and when he stood on the scripture verse, he'll restore our youth like the eagles. Did I say that right? Okay. He was standing on that, and so on and so forth. Not the youth like the eagles, that's not the one. But anyway, he had a word he was standing on. And so, and he said, I'm about 98% now in my back. And that's what God will do. That's what the anointing will do. Okay. Do y'all receive this?
Yes.
You're going to use it?
Yes.
Because you know what? It won't do you any good. I think of how many messages I've listened to. And I remind you, you'll have a few days, then the enemy, depending upon how deep this message went, the enemy will want to come in and he'll want to steal it from you. Don't let him do it. Okay? Because it's a weapon against him. So remember, thanksgiving, our words of faith, gratitude, but what we talked about today, our words of faith. It will shut the enemy's mouth. And it'll shut the door on faith. I don't know. What would it shut the door on? Doubt. That's good. That's good. Let me look here. One more thing. Those of you here in this room that have had your hope deferred, you know the word says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream come true is like a tree of life. This is an answer for you. It's an answer for a lot of people. But man, I hate it when people's hope gets deferred and their heart gets sick over it. So you back up. You go back to that place, wherever you are, whatever you are believing God for. And you start and you say, God, I'm not going to let go of my hope. Just because it ain't happened now don't mean it's not going to happen. God wants to heal your heart. And he'll do that with two little words. Thank you. Well, let's say three. Thank you, Jesus. All righty. Well, I'm finished. Thank y'all for receiving. And I could tell you were, man, it's easy. Y'all are just a really great group to talk to. You really are, because you pull. And so I shared what was in my heart. And I pray that you'll have many, many wonderful results from taking the Word of God. Two little words. You'll never see thank you the same again after this. And you go home and you take these scriptures and you talk to the Father and let the Holy Ghost expound them on you, you know, for you, and show you about them, and see this work in your life.